Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Got it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm no Johnny AV Club. I don't know what's going on.
You don't know what's going on.
That is okay.
We're rolling though, so that's exciting.
Yeah, man. Happy post Thanksgiving, buddy.
Yeah, man. I feel how a sumo wrestler looks. I just feel so fucking fat. I ate so much, dude.
You went for it.
Oh. Man, it was violent. It was swift,
like,
and intense and violent.
Paint the picture for me. What did we make? Give me the landscape. Bring me there.
All right. First of all, I thought it was just going to be Katie and I. So I was going to go small this year.
Do you have a picture of it? Because now that we got video, we can just post the picture.
I do have a video, picture of it somewhere. So
we know that might show up in here for anybody that's indulging us in our video escapades. You'll get a visual representation.
So I was going to go small, but it still was pretty substantial. We went with the, first of all, thought it was just going to be the two of us. So was going to go small. Last second, father-in-law and her two nephews came, which is fine. I made them sure, my request was, hey, let's all go get tested before you come over to my house. So they did that, and it was fine. And it was a lovely afternoon. It was just the five of us, Katie and I, two nephews, and her dad. It had a blast. So I just did a big turkey breast. Now, okay. I know I've gone on record talking about my aversion to white meat, but that mainly falls under chicken. I love a good turkey breast. I brine the hell out of a big, about a 7-pound turkey breast. Brined it for about 24 hours. And then just carved it. It was on the bone. It had the rib. So I just carved off the two breasts and sliced those up and served those.
That's a pound of turkey for each person.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
At the end of it.
So we did that. Did my hash brown casserole, which is insane. I mean, dude, it's just hash browns. Or is what you've called funeral potatoes.
Funeral potatoes. Yes, starch for the dead.
So good. I made my my classic collard greens with simmered those in some ham hocks for a long time. Oh boy, that was good. Did a mashed sweet potato, basically turned it into a sweet potato casserole. Add a little real maple syrup, some real maple syrup, some butter, some brown sugar, some cinnamon. Topped it off with the marshmallows.
Insane. You lose both your legs to diabetes after that.
Yeah.
cut and then, both off.
This is kind of sacrilegious to me, but, you know, I do what my dear lady wants. My dear lady wanted stovetop stuffing, so I made stovetop. And it was pretty good. It's pretty good. Man. Little trick with the stovetop, little trick with that, if you want to fancy it up a little bit. It's the easiest thing in the world to make. You just boil, like, a couple of cups of water and then throw all the shit in there. Instead of water, boil up some chicken stock. Oh, boy. So,
see, we did the opposite. I was doing some shopping. We were going to do a full spread, just make a few things. But I'm like, I went to my favorite, the New Seasons, but like the fancier grocery store. Couldn't find the cheap stuffing. Decided to get some sourdough stuffing. And it was still just. Stuffing is like the biggest scam there is. Like, it's just old bread. It's bird food. It's stuffing is ironically what you would feed to the bird before you killed it to eat it and then return the stuffing to the inside of the bird.
Yeah.
But yeah, we made it and it was like, sourdough stuff. It was like big, but it was just still all crusty afterwards. And so Rachel remade it with a bunch of not chicken broth, but vegetable broth. Cause I want that mushy, synthetic pillow innards. Like, that's what I want. Because I told you 3 weeks ago we just had stuffing and mashed potatoes for a dinner for whatever reason. And to do that for a breakfast, though, breakfast stuffing?
Ooh.
Stuffing, everything the same. Stuffing, gravy, but then I chopped up. I had my fake sausage, fake breakfast sausages. Uh-huh. Put that in there with a fried egg on top of it.
Oh, boy.
That's nice. Cheap stuffing. So I'm glad you saw the light on the stovetop stuffing. Not to undermine your gourmand's instinct. But, yeah, man.
Usually I make my own cornbread and sausage, Cajun sausage and cornbread dressing, not stuffing. Mm-hmm. But she really wanted the stovetop, so I caved, and it was pretty dope, I got to admit. It was pretty good.
Yeah, man.
So the initial meal was great, but I have more fun with the leftovers. And, dude, I made the open-faced turkey sandwich leftover. Mm. I get this. We had the Hawaiian rolls, okay? So I took two Hawaiian rolls and kept them together and then cut those in half and butterflied it. Face down on the griddle with a little butter just to get it a little toasty. A little toasted. Mm. About the size, once you cut them in half and splay them open, about the size of a piece of loaf sandwich bread.
Yeah.
Griddled that up with a little butter, toasted up real nice. Boom. On the plate. Gravy on top of that. A little dressing or stovetop on top of that. A little more gravy. Turkey, more gravy, boom.
Oh,
eat with a fork.
Like a bricklayer.
Dude. That open-faced turkey sandwich. Dude.
Man, oh. I think the place, Doghouse, the hot dog place, Doghouse, like all their things they serve in King's Hawaiian rolls, and I think they take... They cut it the same way, I think. But either way, they do all their sausages and hot dogs and hamburger sliders all on King's Hawaiian rolls.
Oh, it's a good time.
I did have real sausage because we had leftover pizza fixings. So the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we had leftover pizza fixings with some leftover sausage. And I was like, I'm going for it. Yeah. And if I dip out of camera, they can't hear it. I forgot about like the visual component of like falling apart now.
Oh my god!
But yes, yeah, so I had a sausage pizza that I made Chicago style.
How'd that treat you?
Great.
That the first sausage you've had in a while?
Yeah, really. Because we're making we're 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
So I didn't talk about Chicago pizza night that we were making.
No, what's up with that?
Oh, man. Nothing exceptional, which is nice. That's why it's like, okay, store-bought dough. No crime there. Just made some sauce. But Chicago pizza, people don't want to realize, like, it's square cut, thin crust, crispy.
And yes, not to be confused with the deep dish, but the regular Chicago.
And all the cheese you think you can handle. All the cheese you think you can handle as a person. Put it on there. And it was great. So we made some at her brother's house a few nights before. They were great. Got the pans with the aerated pans. Didn't have a pizza stone. Got the pans with the holes in the bottom so it could get kind of crispy. But, oh. Ooh. So we had some leftover. We had sausage. It's like, meh. All right, we'll do it. It's great. I'm not going back to it. I said that was last, you know, once in a while. Once every 6 months, I'll indulge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I bought all the bullshit, man. I still got so much waiting for. I got fake crab and cocktail sauce. Love fake crab. Imitation crab. Yeah. I love it. You rich little, all the seafood you can, as far as I'm concerned. give me Dana Carvey doing George W. Bush for any kind of seafood. I want imitation. Mm-hmm. I want America's Got Talent level impersonators doing my seafood. So I got that waiting for me. I made scalloped potatoes. I don't make anything. I sat there mandolined some russet potatoes. Melted.
You have
up
a mandolin?
Yeah. Well, it's like the one slot in the grater, so I was kind of just jamming the potatoes into that, and then made that creamy cheese. I did it wrong. Forgot steps. Looked ugly as sin. Still delicious. It's how can you screw up scalloped potatoes?
It's a good time right there.
Yeah, you can't screw up the scalloped potatoes. I lost my light. I'm going to worry about lighting now, Dave. Got to be concerned about these issues. Now that we're video stars. But it was good, man. It was mellow. We ate and then...
Just the two of you?
Yeah, we just kicked it.
Yeah.
Didn't want to... Just hung out. I still got to make a broccoli cheese casserole.
Ooh.
I'll tell you this, man. Okay, you know how I am about food waste. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate wasting food. Had to throw out almost a whole Chinese dinner today. Now I'm going to ask you, Sichuan peppers, what do you know about them?
That the little red ones?
I thought so. No, they look like peppercorns, apparently.
Oh, whatever the red ones that come, you know, in most Chinese food, I like those.
Yeah, those are the danger zone pepper.
Uh-huh.
They're
never too hot, though. I like them.
Well, I thought those ones get you. But I got some Kung Pao tofu from someplace. Because we're like, all right, we've been going through leftovers for 4 days. Let's change it up. Kung Pao, classic flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Kung Pao, you can Kung Pao an old iPhone, I'll eat it. It's great. Yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I get Kung Pao tofu from this place. I'm eating it.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, that pepper, it's not like a spicy thing. But it makes your lips and your tongue tingle and vibrate. Not hot, but a weird, it's a chemical reaction, you know? But it tasted like somebody sprayed Windex on it. You ever have that?
No, I can't say I have the Windex.
It tasted like a cleaning thing.
Peppers?
Rachel looked it up, said it was like, oh, it's got like a citrusy flavor. Tell me your opinion on citrus in food as like a zest, as an addition. Mm-hmm. Not
normally,
like orange
I love
chicken,
it.
But like.
I was about to say, I love orange chicken, but I don't need you to put the orange peel slivers in there. Some of them, have you ever had that where there's like the little ribbons of orange peel just scattered around? I don't need that shit.
Anytime there's a zest, I want to live zest free, man. I hate zest. I hate it. Because it always seems like I associate citrus acidity with cleaning solutions. Mm-hmm. When it's on savory food, it always seems like it's like, oh, we're going to squeeze a lime. Like maybe lime once in a while with Mexican food.
Yeah.
But barely any.
Okay.
But all these zesting and the essence of the lemon or whatever. And it's like, no, man, it's like you were cleaning the counter next to the food you're making and the mix, the thing. This whole thing tasted chemically like somebody like sprayed a little bit of Windex in it. I chucked it, man. I was last night. I tried it again today as leftovers. And it was peanuts in it. Rachel couldn't eat because it had peanuts in it. So unfortunately. Against my every wish that I have in the world, I'd throw out a whole thing of Chinese food.
When you get tofu in Chinese food, is it usually like normal tofu where it's real mushy and limp, or do they kind of fry it up a little, make it crispy?
Oh, no, this was all fried up and everything. That's what like orange chicken. You ever bite a piece of orange chicken in half? There's no way you could believe that that's chicken anyway.
Yeah, sometimes it's real shitty. Like they're,
but it's not even shitty. You're still up. Like, I still like the taste of it, but you're like, that's not, don't tell me it's chicken.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And sometimes it's all breading. You get these little nuggets and you bite into it and there's no meat. It's just all the breading. It's the glaze and the breading.
Yeah. It's like the people that are too into plastic surgery. Like, if you showed the original version of the person 50 years ago and who they are now, it's like, this is a picture of a chicken and then here's what orange chicken is. Like, oh, that doesn't resemble its original form. In any way, shape, or... It's like you took the idea of a chicken and deep fried it.
Mm-hmm.
But so, the tofu, it's like all fried and good and collecting all the sauce.
That was my go-to when I was vegetarian years ago. If we ate out, really, where I lived in Canton, Georgia, there was only two options to eat out. We could go to a Mexican place, get a bean burrito and rice. And that was fun, you know, but that had its limitations. But then we go to the local Chinese place and get the bean curd, so the spicy bean curd something. And boy, the little strips of tofu, they'd crisp them up. And boy, it was solid.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm eating too much soy. I know that's like a conspiracy theory that too much soy, like it increases your estrogen or lowers your testosterone. So either I'm getting bigger tits or a smaller dick. I don't know which one. I don't know what I'm doing to myself. Man, something's going on. But I sure love them Impossible Whoppers. Impossible to find my nuts anymore. That's what's impossible. Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to do something with these. Oh, yeah. I'm going to turn them upside down.
Well, that's right. You got your cute little ears. Won't hold them in there?
Yeah, you make me laugh too much. I start laughing, and the holes expand, and they push the earbud out.
Well, why you got them pointing upwards?
I just twisted them. Someone told me to do that.
They look like little antennas.
Yeah.
You look like that? Fucking Shrek.
Someone said they won't fall out if I do that.
Video is the best thing we've ever done.
I can't hear you as well, though.
Look at you. Look at your little tune-in Tokyo ears.
I've seen every time like I smile, it makes them fall out. So I'll frown the whole time.
Dave heard there's a new recipe broadcast coming out of the Ural Mountains in Russia, so he's really turning up his connectors, trying to figure out what to do with goat meat. Lost him.
Yeah, just lost it. God damn it.
Of course we did.
Hold on.
And we'll be right back. Here we go.
You touch him the wrong way. And
there he is.
There we go. Let's try this again.
Yep. Come on now.
All right.
We got him.
Sorry about that, buddy. You there?
Turn my camera off. We're doing great. No.
There he is. Sorry about that, dude.
That's all right. Did you have to give up on the ear pods?
No. I've got them back in here. I'll try.
Mine stopped working. Okay.
Try to contain myself.
That's all right. Well, we got it.
I'm already sweating. Oh, man.
Man, you got that's. Hold on, I got to work on my audio end here. Come on, you fucking. All right. We there?
I'm here.
Well, no, I don't know why my shit ain't working.
This I can hear you.
I can hear you too, but I can hear you through the computer, and I don't know if that's bleeding into the mic.
Oh.
I don't know why it just dumped mine out. Let me work on this. Maybe we edit. Maybe we don't. Keep making fun jokes, Dave. Mm-hmm. The audio's still going out tomorrow, whether we like it or not. Let me get the mic over to my face. The audio's still going to go. Why is my door open? Oh, man. I told you I thought this place was haunted.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What's up with that?
All right. Here, talk a little bit. See if the mic picks it up.
I like your poster in the background there. That's pretty rad. That's the one you had at your old place.
I did. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it is. I still haven't seen the movie. Actually, I was doing Hey Girl with Bronger, and Dana Gould was like, oh, my God, is that the Sun Pictures? And I'm like, you know when somebody calls you out on a thing?
Mm-hmm.
That happened at the gun range yesterday. It was like, what is that, the 19 by X Glock? I'm like, it's the one they had at the store when I wanted to buy a 9mm.
So it's the one that goes bang.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'm gonna sort my end out here. Bluetooth, it is.
Sorry about that.
No, you're all right, man. I don't know why mine won't just conveniently reconvene here. Beat him. Dumb old bitch. It's saying it's going through him, but let's try the old take him out, put him back in kind of trick.
Hey everybody, faithful podcast listeners, my name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games, my dad gets involved, it's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
I think that did it. Are you there?
Oh, let's... man, you froze up.
There we go. Are. All right. Uh-oh. Okay. Boy, okay. All right. Well, anyway, so that door is open. I thought I closed it. The room that I'm in, I think, let me make sure. No, I don't want to, I would feel bad, but this is the room that her mom passed away in.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So I busted her on it because it's the smallest room in the house. It's my office. And she's like, are you sure you're not mad? I'm like, no, why? I can understand why you don't want the smallest room in the house, which is also where your mom died. And she's like, yeah, right. And like, we had a laugh. I'm saying we had a laugh about it. So let's.
Has there been any reluctance on her part to move into that house? How's she doing living there?
It was more about like, yeah, would it be emotional? She's like, no, she's, you know, sees it as the function that it is. And she never lived here for a real long time.
Uh-huh.
But she'll be home soon. I just don't want to feel like I'm talking about her life while I'm on this. You know, I just, not that she would be mad, this is not private information, but I don't know if it's a mix of being more stoned than normal in the evenings, just to be able to go to bed, because as an extension of the seasonal affective disorder, boy, am I filled with things I want to talk about today, Dave.
Lay it on me, buddy.
All right. Maybe you can bounce some stuff back. Maybe I'll just be a big old baby and you can put me in my place.
No. Lay it on me, bud.
But, you know, you live in an apartment and, like, any noise you can attribute to neighbors, it's a big building, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of the people turning off appliances, this and that. So you can never really get spooked out by a noise when you're in an apartment unless you know it's, like, a door handle and then you have to be sure it's your door handle.
Yeah.
So, but here, it's just house. I know it's 99.9% sure it's just house settling noises.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's like a heating duct, but it's like you'll hear three taps on this side of the house. And then you'll hear three taps on the other side of the house. And I'm sure it's just, it's cold and things are contracting. But we believe in and we like to get scared by things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's moments at night where I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. It's early. I've been going to bed earlier. I haven't been drinking, even though I got multiple drinks here now. I'm not getting fucked up just for the sake of getting fucked up because I don't want to fall into seasonal depression. More on that later.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll just be laying in bed and hear like three loud taps and then three loud taps over there. And it's like, well.
Like call and response type of stuff?
If I want it. It's one of those things where like if get scared me. Would love it for it to be that. Mm-hmm. And realistic me is like, now it's the house settling. It's cold outside. Things contract. You have it's an entire structure and there's no city noise anymore. So all you're going to hear are the little noises that a house makes. It's one of those like what the silence is. It's calming to a point, but then it's almost maddening.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then you only hear the littlest sounds make the largest impact on your psychological observations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I complain about being in LA, but like, oh yeah, it's a neighbor getting home. It's a helicopter. So like, I'll fall asleep because all these noises is the symphony of living in the city. And now it's just like, what was that? Well, what's that one? Is that a rat? And then something will run across the roof and then there's raccoons and we got the door open for the garage so the cat can go in and out. I'm like, did raccoons get in the roof? Then I had a dream that there was a Wolverine in the fireplace last night. It's a whole thing, man. I'm getting weird.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So I don't think. And then I had this revelation. That I'm like, if it is a ghost, well, okay, cool. Doesn't feel mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's ghost it up. Like, the idea of the sound not being. Like, it's not somebody breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I scared of? If it's a door opening, okay, shit, game on.
Yeah.
As you said beforehand, you, little Street Justice Dave was back in action the other night?
Yeah, I had to, shoo off a pest.
That's a very benevolent way of describing it.
4 o'clock in the morning. Man, talk about home protection. little Charlie, little Charlie boy here. He's speaking of like sounds, he's gotten really good at discerning what's just generic street noise and what's a threat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning, he just starts barking, losing his shit. And then right here, I think I've described, but we've got like a quadplex, and then literally 10 feet on each side is another quadplex. And there's a driveway in between these two. And there's a motion sensor light on the little driveway at night. So when anybody walks back there, light pops up. So 4 o'clock in the morning, Charlie starts losing his shit. And then that light pops on, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I look out the window, and sure enough, just some dude just rummaging around. Sometimes homeless folks or whomever will get back there and rummage through the trash. Yeah. That's a whole other can of worms. But wasn't rooting through the trash, just lurking back here. And so I go out the front door and walk up the driveway to kind of box him in.
Lock him in, yeah.
I boxed him in. And he's just in the corner. And there's a couple of garages back here that some of the other tenants rent out. And I couldn't tell if he was trying to break into one of the garages or he was doing something off in the corner. And I'm in there. I'm out there with just my sleeveless tee and my flip-flops. And so I just stand back. I just stand back and observe. He had no idea I was there. So I just watch him for about 30 seconds. And again, I couldn't tell if he was trying to break into a garage, but he's doing something. And I sized him up a little bit, a little skinny fella, about 6 foot, 150, like real wiry dude. And so he's got his back turned to me doing something. And I'm just sitting observing for about 30 seconds. And finally, I just go, hey! Real loud, and he jumped and turned and
he
looked at me.
Your ear pot out of your ear.
Yeah, and man, he turned and looked, and I scared the shit out of him. And I was like, "What the fuck you doing?" And he was. Yeah. I think he was just on drugs. I think he was out of his mind.
Yeah,
and he's mumbling some shit. You know, something about does Sarah live around here? Like, there's no Sarah here, and it's 4:30 in the morning. You need to get the fuck out of here. And he just mumbled some shit and just walked off. But yeah, I'm glad, you know, I didn't have to get physical or anything. And I'm glad, you know, and in hindsight, he could have been anybody. I'm back there unarmed. I almost brought my baseball bat, but I was like, nah, I can handle this without
you
any
want
weaponry.
A little fisticuffs. I love the idea of it being silent, like in a horror movie, like you're in like the underground haunted tunnels of a city, and then the footsteps you hear are flip flops. Like, so you're scared, but also like, oh man, this is the chillest ghost.
Yeah. And but I was just pissed because it was just like, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? It's 4:30 in the morning. And of course he didn't have an answer, but it's like, what do you think's gonna happen, asshole? Like, there's between the two buildings, there's eight different apartments, eight different tenants at least. There's cameras, there's lights. He just back there fucking off. I was like, get the fuck out of here, man. Well, he mumbled something.
Drugs don't make you come up with the wisest choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's stuff back there that, you know, could be stolen. Like all my stuff, anything that I have back out there is locked up. Like I got my Traeger and my bike. They're all kind of chained up to the staircase above me. But there's other stuff back there, you know, that people leave, you know, and, but just, 4:30 in the morning, like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but fortunately, like, he was either chill or stoned or something. Like, fortunately, he didn't give me any pushback. He was just, oh, I'm sorry, man. But chill. I was like, fucking get out of here, dude.
I lock my bikes up in the garage, and I kind of, we got the one door open for the cat and everything. But I also, like, listen, like, if thieves are going to steal something, like, and put in the effort of like scoping out your spot, figuring out how to get on, like they're going to get what they want. But at least I can provide some stumbling points if somebody thought it was just a crime of convenience, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, they'll go in there. This door's open. Let's steal these bikes. Oh, they're locked up though. We'll see. Hopefully everything's cool. Helen's being a real bitch lately. So better.
What's her problem?
I don't know. She's got we got this other cat coming around that we're calling Big Sexy. It's not the size of a house cat. It's between like a cat in the next evolutionary step up of jungle predator. Still got just big old fuzzy nuts hanging off the back end of this thing. You know, like, did somebody hang truck nuts off the tail of his cat? They're huge hairy balls. So this thing is just a stray cat looking a fuck. And so we're worried about old Helen. She got old hips, you know. I don't think she can take a hammer in that big sexy ones to put down.
Oh, but, leave Helen alone.
But this thing's huge. I caught it in the garage. Like, don't
what
you
color
go
is he?
Her. Just gray. It's got white boots. It's even got like a weird like studio, like alpha male that loves to dance kind of vibe is what I'm getting off this. You know, like just, you're usually like, not like a John Travolta Saturday Night Fever, but just like if you just saw a big, strong alpha male, but then a song came on, he's like, oh, yeah. Love this one. Mm-hmm. And his dancing made you go like, oh, it's okay if we just like to dance, guys. Like that's the vibes I get off Big Sexy.
The big stud that took drama instead of football.
Just, he's got a sensitive side. He's, you know, he took a Down syndrome girl to prom. Like, that kind of guy. Like, just, he's focused on his strength, but, you know he's listening to, like, you know he's listening to some, like, Buddhist teachings while he's in the weight room kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but Big Sexy's out there prowling, so I don't know if Helen's worked up because the last little bits of her female.
Is she fixed?
Yeah.
Y'all got her fixed?
Not us. We took her to the vet that one day, and we're like, yeah, she's got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's got the little snip out of the ear that says the pound caught her, and they, you know, they'll let the stray cats back out into the neighborhood, but they'll catch them and fix them so they can't reproduce. Yeah. But then it's still pest control, you know. But I don't think she was. I think she's nice enough that. She was kind of around people before. But anyway, she's just been sassing around here.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, like I was saying, it's a moody time of year. I got into funk.
Yeah, going on with your, what'd you say, you got seasonal depression? What's going on?
I wouldn't say it's depression. I'm just, you know, I've been in California for 17 years where December just means like, oh, thank God it's only 63 degrees out.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Here it's like it's as gray all day. It's dark by 4:45. I'm trying to stay rad. I'm trying, Dave. I'm getting rad to fight off the sad, man. I'm out like okay, I guess I just ride bikes in the mud and rain, which is fun in its own right. Be a grown man, like I gotta go play in the mud. I was doing that the other day, just slipping and sliding around in the goop.
Oh, I saw your rad bike video.
Yeah, you see that 6 inches catching of air?
Catching wicked air, man. I like that.
I had to jam my phone in a rotten tree stump and hike all back up the hill to get speed, thinking like, this one will look cool. And I looked at that, and I was like, I only posted it because of the effort I put in to get the shot. Otherwise, I was like, this looks stupid as fuck.
It looked pretty cool, man.
But it's fun.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
You ever watch people trying to like lift weights online and then you see the size of the weights? You're like, there's no way it's that much. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea how much a weight is supposed to like from visual to the real gravitational pull on it.
Well, that's a thing that's actually been going around are these fake weights, these fake dumbbells.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some people are getting made up these. I don't know. Like me, I could shoulder press. Probably I could do like a couple of 60 pounds, maybe 65 pounds on each side. Boom. Shoulder press. There's people getting like 100 pounds,
60 pounds on each side.
Yeah. Yeah. Take 265 here, 65 there. Boom.
That's just 100. Isn't that just 130 pounds?
Yeah. But it's different than hold on just a second. Someone's knocking at the door.
Okay. All right. Let's edit this out. No, maybe we won't. Maybe it's. Maybe this is when they're coming in. Like, this is when Special Forces finds out, like, listen, Dave, we heard you're. This is when he becomes the Punisher. We can't. Okay, it's not. Dave, get him to sign a release. We can't broadcast it unless he signed a release. I was really hoping it was the government saying, like, listen, we need you as a. a vigilante. I thought this is when you become Jason Bourne.
The mailman, we got a little mail slot, you know, just stick the mail through the door. But he stuck the wrong, he stuck someone else's package through the slot. And when I opened it, he's like, oh, I put the wrong package. And so I had to give it back to him, and then he gave me the right package. So,
man, at least you got a mailman that cares about that.
Yeah.
I was getting shit that was just like, wrong street, wrong name, who gives a fuck?
Oh, yeah, we, I get that a lot.
Yeah, we've gone through our, yeah, we all got to love the post office. And
dude, on that tip, I know this sounds like first world
problems. No offense to the guy who probably lives, the mailman who knows where I live and probably listens to this.
You no wouldn't believe
you. You do a great job, buddy.
You wouldn't believe how many, I would say, we order DoorDash. We get food delivered twice a week, maybe. And I'm no hyperbole. I would say 40 to 50% of the time, I'm on the phone with the driver.
Yeah.
And my address is so easy to find. I live on the main road. I live 10 feet off the road. My address is huge letters right above my door. I mean, every other time, hey, I'm outside with your thing, but where are you at? I'm like, I'm at the address that's on your work order. That's where I'm at. And it's posted right above my door. Like, dude, this isn't complicated. Anyway, I don't know why I got, it's just so fucking frustrating. I'm on the phone with people like, yeah, I see your car. Just figure out where my address is, you idiot.
Well, this is back when I was in my old apartment. Rachel got me a light-up pizza sign that they hang in the window of pizza places, but I put it in my front window. So anytime I got delivery food, it was like, look for the sign. Just get a little beacon, a little lighthouse beacon.
Yeah.
Like a special colored light or something, like blue light. Mm-hmm. And then they know.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's also the one where the numbers that are on your work order, your receipt, look for those numbers.
You know what? If I was working for DoorDash, I wouldn't be throwing 100% at that either. So
why not? That's the thing. I can bitch about this because I've
make
done
$3.
That. No. They do better than that. They get tips plus, I would say the average DoorDash run, like my minimum is $5. In terms of a tip, sometimes I'll just order like one thing that's like $8 and I'm like, well, someone's bringing it over, $5 minimum, but no, they're making $5, $8, $10 a run. Like, and plus it's like not complicated. I don't know.
I'm so diseased by capitalism that I like, if I'm ordering and like, oh, minimum delivery is this much, I'll order more food to make sure I thought the delivery charge and like what I'm going to pay for tip is worth it to me.
Yeah.
So I'll spend more money. Like, oh, I'm not going to get one $10 pizza and then pay $6 on a delivery charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get two pizzas. That way it's worth it. I'm like, I just spend, but I know I'm going to eat them, so it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Unless it's fucking Kung Pao tofu from Szechuan Palace.
Mm.
Fuckers. Anyway, we were on a thing. We had a track.
Oh yeah. Seasonal depression.
Oh yeah. I was just getting the bums, man. It's getting dark. It's rainy. I'm trying to maintain some hobbies and I just, you know, every couple days you get a little dragging ass. I mean, I think everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overwhelming circumstances for everybody in the world. Holidays, winter. Yeah. All that shit. What? Nothing exceptional.
No, it is crazy how dark it gets so early. How early it gets dark? I don't know. Growing up in Georgia,
for the listeners, in January, tuning into the video, shake some ice around the mic. Let them know it's drinks. Drinks are coming into this.
5:30 was the earliest it ever got dark in Georgia in the winter, and now here, like you said, like 4:45, it's pitch black. That's just fucking weird. I feel like I live in Alaska.
Yeah, dog. Hey, honestly, if Trump would have been like, I'm going to get rid of daylight savings, I still wouldn't have voted for him, but I would have thought about my decision.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so dumb.
I would have considered. I would have actually considered like, any candidate, you throw I'm going to get rid of daylight savings time, you're going to tip the scales. If they were on the fence, mm-hmm. you might tip the scales.
Yeah.
Nobody still wants it. Nobody's like, oh, great. Oh, thank God, daylight savings time.
I mean, who benefits from that now? Farmers?
It's I guess all, that's the original. That's all computers. Farms. Actually, my dad was saying some guy he used to work with like went and like retired and was like had a farm and like the tractor. It really is like you're still in it piloting it, but it's like a Tesla uh-huh. at this point. It's really? Got the diameters of the field and like what pivot points it needs to make. And it's just an automated system. Like you're in there just feet on the wheel, drinking a beer while the thing just back and forth. I'm sure I'm oversimplified, but it's not. Like it's it's an automated system now. These like of all the things that are automated, yeah, that kind of shit where it's like, oh, all I gotta do is sit there all day.
Yeah. They're not trudging behind a mule.
I mean, I'm surprised they don't have like I think they have them, but you don't see more lawnmowers that are just like a Roomba.
Between
how you would calculate a Roomba and electric fence where you mm-hmm. set up a perimeter and then just mm-hmm. set some weird robot loose on your lawn. Although lawns are stupid.
Yeah. Why is that?
Why do you need grass? Like, I mean, I understand the idea of land, but the idea that mm-hmm. a manicured lawn to water and look good. I like when people are like, no, these are natural plants that normally occur in this area. Mm-hmm. And like, we'll trim them, but instead of just watering a piece of grass, just so you can be like, look, my grass is green.
You're talking about like in California or
I realize I'm addressing a former landscape.
Yeah, exactly. Artist. Hey, hold on. This is that was my livelihood.
but at any point, if you weren't getting paid for it, would you ever feel like, why do you have this?
Well, In a lot of climates, the grass is going to grow whether you want it to or not. So in that case, I get, hey, this shit's growing. Keep it manicured. I don't know if you're in a desert climate like out here in California or Arizona or wherever, where people, you know, spend a lot of money and water trying to grow grass where naturally it's not going to grow. Yeah, that's I get that. But if it's there anyway, might as well manicure it and keep it looking good.
That makes more sense in an area where your land is going to grow things.
Yeah.
You got to manage that. But in mm-hmm. an area where it's just an affront to what should be happening naturally. Oh, yeah. there's a desert? I have a lawn. You're an idiot.
Or like some people around here even have the fake grass, have the AstroTurf or whatever. That is, I don't understand that.
Part of me kind of thinks it's fun because it's like a mini golf course.
Mm. Now, that'd be nice if you had a mini golf course in your backyard. Dude.
I would not trust the general public with a loose putter.
Uh-huh.
But if you had like a corded putter, like if you just had one hole of a mini golf course
mm-hmm.
of like a putter, like that was chained up, I'm like, hey, go take a shot.
That would be fun. Dude, let's segue real quick. What was the dessert situation over there for Thanksgiving?
Rachel, well, we got a can of pumpkin pie filling off the Nextdoor app because she was looking on Thanksgiving. Everywhere was sold out. We had everywhere else. And somebody's like, I got extra. And so I went and I will say this. But if you have your cupboard with like ingredients you're not using or something that's just mm-hmm. sitting there and you're like, oh, I'm not using it. Use Nextdoor not to just like find out what weird crime is happening mm-hmm. or whose cat is missing. But as far as giving away stuff, it's great. Like just to know that like, hey, somebody else did want this shaker full of turmeric. That I'm not using.
Oh, man.
Like, and then somebody's like, yeah, I could use it. I lost
him. That's funny.
But so I'll say, like, yeah, like, there's ways to get your bullshit out in the world that you think it's bullshit, but then you're glad somebody else is using it. I lost the audio again, so I'm trying to.
Oh, that's all right, buddy.
These goddamn things.
I never thought about that. I never thought about using Nextdoor for discarded groceries. Did I tell you about my neighbor? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you. But just anything that's in your house, like, I'm not using this. I don't want to deal with trying to sell it. And if somebody else can use it, that's just better. You're not buying something new. Something didn't have to be made new.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think in like a anti-capitalist mindset these days.
My neighbor, real nice guy named Kyle.
There's some good ones out there.
He's got an aversion to front doors. He never knocks on my front door. He just yells at my window.
All right, like, well, it's not really
like
cool.
Like a weird, weird Romeo and Juliet scenario here. He'll just come to the window, just, Dave!
We're for like, art now, Dave!
And I always yell at him, like, go to the door! And he's done this about four times. Not him, but his buddy works on a movie set. And his buddy will give him craft services leftovers.
Hell yeah, dude.
And then Kyle will then give them to me. Third-hand food. He gave me third-hand taquitos last week. And he'll just show up about every 2 weeks. He'll just yell in the alley, Dave! I'm like, go to the door, Kyle.
Taquitos, you know, if it was like sashimi, I'd worry about it. But taquitos can travel.
But it's third-hand food. This is food that was given to him that he has now given to me. It's not stuff he cooked and had leftovers and then brought to his neighbor. But that, like, just seems weird.
A taquito is never going to be like, nobody's ever said like, ooh, fresh taquitos.
True. Yeah. One time it was all Persian food. Bunch of hummus and pita and shawarma and stuff.
Hell yeah.
And I appreciate the gesture. It just feels weird eating third-hand food when I'm not destitute yet.
So you did eat it.
I mean, of course I ate it.
All right. So then why are we having this discussion?
Well, I ate it just because I think about you. And I'm like, you know, I don't like to waste food either. Kyle would be ashamed if I didn't eat this.
Oh, yeah. It's my fault. I guilted you.
It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure to eat third-hand food. I'm like, all right, man.
I guilted you into some backhanded Baba Ganoush. Oh, came out with some alliteration in the clutch.
That's pretty good.
I don't mind. I realize that I am joking with Rachel about throwing out that. Once I found out that the Sichuan peppers are also like citrusy, I'm like, well, I did throw that Chinese food out right on top of the trash. Like, I'm Costanza till the end.
Yep. It was above the rim. Adjacent to refuse is refuse. Oh, man, that was a good one. Where he eats the eclair.
I've done. I remember my worst case. I remember I ate a half a burrito I found on a bumper somewhere in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
I was walking back. I don't even know. I was just walking, and I saw him like, that's a burrito, when it wasn't finished, and I finished it.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm still here.
I've eaten found tacos. I've talked about that before.
Yeah, it was on the bumper. It wasn't on the ground.
Yeah. When I ate the found tacos, I was at the window of the food truck. It was the one in Atwater Village right there near Bigfoot. And about to make my order, and then I found a couple of tacos, so I reduced my order. I was like, let me get four let me get two tacos. And I still ate. I bought two and I ate four.
You had a BOGO. So, you had the BOGO special. barf one, get one free.
Yeah. When I used to work at Longhorn Steakhouse, I'd eat food off of customers' plates all the time. I was like, well, they looked clean. This is a unmolested chicken finger. I'll take that.
If it needs to be reiterated in this holiday season, I will reiterate it. Not that anybody's going out to eat, but there's no excuse to never get it to go. If you live in a city where you know there's maybe people wandering around, there's no excuse not to get a to-go box. And I've learned, don't leave it in front of their place where they might be, like their tent or what have you, because it attracts rats. Put it on top of a trash can.
Okay.
You're already going to go to the trash can, maybe looking for something. Put it in the container nicely and leave it on top or leave it on a surface so they can find it that way.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, and oh, I don't want to hear anybody's joke about, like, oh, I was going to give a homeless guy something. He's like, oh, I'm vegan. Like, yeah, you know why? Because they know what can spoil, and that's why they're trying to, like, oh, this is stuff that might not go bad and poison me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, so. Anyway, man, there's supernatural stuff that happened this week. There's a monolith. There's space. Dude. There's space. Banksy is putting art around.
I think that's got to be what's going on. It's got to be if not Banksy, it's got to be somebody like that, right? It's got to be some sort of art piece talking about the Utah monolith.
Showed up in Utah. Where did it show up? Which park did it show up in?
Showed up just south of Moab.
Okay,
if I understand correctly. Showed up last week. All the reports I keep reading say 10 to 12 feet. Like, somebody can't whip out a fucking tape measure and measure this thing. Yeah. But it showed up last week.
They don't know how far deep in the sand it goes.
Yeah, that's true. For people who don't know what we're talking about, the Utah monolith, about a 10 to 12 feet, I guess it's like kind of a sheet metal thing, a prism, kind of a triangle, a prism type thing, just showed up last week. Although some people have researched the Google Maps and the coordinates and stuff, the satellite imagery, and I guess the consensus is it's possibly been there since 2015 or 2016, but maybe they just now noticed it last week. But yeah, anyway, some people working for the Utah Parks Department or whatever were doing some helicopter surveillance on some mountain sheep,
bighorn
sheep, and they noticed last week that this structure or whatever you want to call it. By the way, I don't like the monolith thing. Monolith is just a big natural stone or mountain type thing. This is more of a monument, but people keep calling it a monolith.
The guess is from the according to CNN article, the guess is from Brett Hutchings, who was the helicopter pilot. That's what I was guessing, between 10 and 12 feet high.
Mm-hmm. But hundreds of visitors have in the last week have visited the thing. They brought it a pie and sat with it and told it some stories. But hundreds of people apparently have located it and made the journey out and saw it. So I'm saying a lot of people have seen this thing in person, and still 10 to 12 feet. Nobody had a fucking tape measure. But anyway, showed up last week, could have been there for a couple of years, 4 or 5 years maybe even. But then I guess it was Saturday, a couple days ago, just disappeared. So nobody knows where it went. And then today, news broke out of Romania, where probably not the same thing. I mean, it's similar, although the one in Romania has a bunch of like scribbly lines on it. But similar dimensions, similar appearance. But I think Thursday, well, here's the thing, too. That the one in Utah was there up until Saturday.
I'm looking at a video of it.
Then it disappeared.
Yeah.
And the one in Romania, some reports say that people noticed it as early as last Thursday. So more than likely not the same actual physical structure. However, could be connected in some way. Or it could be like a copycat. So that's the big mystery, is A, who put it there? B, why was it there?
Where's the dedication of our UFO hunters that we're going to storm Area 51, but we found about this location? Like, the mm-hmm. location's here. Here are some facts that people clued in. Not magnetic. It's three pieces that are riveted together. Two rivets mm-hmm. missing up top is what somebody reported from it. Some fell on Instagram that went, David Serber. Why didn't they just go and camp out at it? Why didn't they just stay there and be like, all right, let's see if so.
That's a great question.
Is it that? This guy gave instructions on how to get to it. And he did this on, I don't see a date on this. But I'll go to his Instagram page. Instagram, where we find out 5 days ago, so 25th. Also, by the way, Instagram is a wonderful thing to realize that whatever location you're fascinated about in the world, a woman has dumped her ass out at it.
What do you mean?
Just anytime I'm like, oh man, I wonder what this place is like. And like, you see a geolocation, like you see a picture from, oh, this is the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And then you click on the geolocation on Instagram, and the first picture is always some girl with a fat ass. Like, ooh. Mount Kilimanjaro, jar this. And it's her with her fat ass at it. Well, I'm not a complaint, but it's like every place that used to be an undiscovered remote location that was a mystery to most of humankind now has some Instagram trollop dumping her cheeks out at it, just fucking throwing cake around. It's not bad, but it's kind of like, well, where's the mystery left in the universe? Like, there is, I'm sure this monolith, I'm sure there's going to be a picture of like a girl like dropping ass in front of it. Like, that's probably not the right phrase, but
dropping ass sounds like someone's.
I know. I can't dropping keep, a deuce. I'm trying to be like, yeah.
That's what I thought you meant originally.
Throwing a fat ass around at it.
There was this artist named John McCracken. He passed away in 2011, but a lot of his work was similar stuff like this, where he would go to isolated areas and erect some weird monuments and statues and minimalist pieces. A lot of people think this is a leftover piece of his that even though he passed away 9 years ago, that maybe friends or family or somebody took an old piece of his and put it out there. So that's one theory that's being speculated upon.
That's fun. I love an artist that's like it, like the immediate reward is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, I'm going to just put it there.
The long game.
If you find it, you find it. If not, it'll puzzle people decades from now. I think that's, I like that.
What are your thoughts on street art and Banksy and that kind of stuff? You like that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's, I kind of think the idea undermined the art that he was doing. Like, the messages were anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, and I thought that was cool. But then people got more intrigued by, how does he do it? Where does he go? Like, who could it be? It's like, yeah, but also the art still has a good message.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that stuff. There's a couple of good documentaries out there. There's a newer one, just called Banksy. There's one that came out a few years ago, Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Yeah, they think the guy that was like the fake Banksy in that, Dr. Mysterious or whatever, was actually Banksy, maybe.
Like, I doubt that. That guy seems like too big of a knucklehead.
Well, that's why they thought like maybe he's just in his own movie trying to fuck with people. Yeah.
What was his name? Fuck.
I don't, it's almost Andy Kaufman-esque. But then even the Andy Kaufman stuff, I wonder for the individual, like if it's just exhausting, where like, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to do this prank anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like a lot of effort. But some of that Banksy stuff was really impressive. It did a lot of stencil work. And then later he did more of, I don't know how you would describe it, but there's that one where he took like a English style phone booth and like welded it to bend. I don't know. Installation. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. A lot of installation pieces and stuff like that. So I think it's rad. That was one thing when I first moved to LA, I think I saw one of those documentaries about the time I moved here. And back when I was in the van, I was walking everywhere just because I didn't want to move the van around. That's another story. But I used to see so much street art in LA, and I even saw like some stuff that appeared on Exit Through the Gift Shop documentary, Space Invader. I don't know if you remember that one, but little tiles that he made to look like the Space Invader characters from the Atari game. I used to see those around LA and stuff like that. A lot of Shepard Fairey's work, the guy who did the Andre the Giant has a posse. Yeah, and then the Hope, the Barack Obama thing. But
remember the ones, there was the light-up ones people were sticking places that were the they were the two alien, high-pitched alien things from
Aqua Teen?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were posting those up in weird places before the street art was really known. And then somebody's like, this is a terrorist. They thought it was a terrorist. They thought it was a
I remember that.
They thought it was a bomb because it was still Aqua Teen is older, now that I'm saying this out loud, is older than we realize it is.
Oh, yeah. Like early 2000s. Like I used to watch Aqua Teen.
Pre-9/11.
Probably that. Yeah, probably.
Because I remember they put it up there and people were like, well, if somebody reported this as like a bomb, I'm like, no, that's from Aqua Teen.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I wonder if I still think Pete Holmes has like the best bit about museums, about like, I don't know how long I'm supposed to look. Like, I just stand in front of each thing for a while until I'm like, ah, okay. And then I look, I'm like, that does sum up the essence of going to museums.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it's like classical art, where it's like, oh, this is the Rubenesque period. And it's all like, here's a chunky naked broad. Here's another chunky naked broad. And then like, great, beautiful painting, but they really get redundant to a lay person.
Yeah.
So when a museum, when every room is like, what is, what? Like, it engages you.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that'll be like when all the Corona thing, if people be like, maybe we should start going to start appreciating this stuff more. Like just museums, like not, art museums, like natural history museums are their own thing. You're seeing artifacts and that's what, but art museums really the only ones that got me, unless I'm seeing a piece that I learned about that's historic. Otherwise, like here's a painting. Like I get that Monet kind of squinted at stuff and then, here's a blurry bridge that I've painted in every season. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I appreciate it. I see how it, but then if you go into another room where it's like some weird bank, something in Chicago, the Museum of Modern Art in Chicago, it was only photographs. This guy built this ornate wood sculpture, almost like a skateboard ramp, but it would look like, like almost like a mollusk, which I want to talk to you about because I texted you about the octopus documentary last night.
Right. I couldn't find it, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, it was on some weird app. But there was this wooden sculpture that was like, it looked like a story and a half high, ornate, bent wood and everything. And the only thing that existed of it was the photographs, was him making it, making it, making it, and then destroying it. Nobody ever saw it. That was the cat. Like, nobody ever saw this other than the artist. And I was like, it fucked me up. And I'm like, good job, artist. Because all you made me go like, well, why wouldn't you want people to see this? I'm like, you got what you wanted. You made me question the idea of why would you make art if nobody gets to see it. And personal satisfaction. I was like, oh, man, I'm in the position that maybe they want me to be in. It's like really rethinking the idea of why would you make something if you're the only one that gets like, you know, it's almost like it's like making food. Like you're going to make food because you know it's going to taste good to you. But then you get the joy of other people knowing you accomplished that. And this guy took the element and just made a series of photographs. Or maybe he just wanted, maybe he's sitting in, like, I always thought, like, why don't museums, like, why don't artists sit in the museum if they make a something, you know, the red dot on a canvas? Like, I could have done that. It's like, yeah, but you didn't. And maybe the artist sits in the museum laughing at everybody going, this is stupid. And they're just, like, so happy that they're well, it's just the like original that, trolls.
You know about that Banksy picture that sold at a Sotheby's auction?
Oh, and shredded? Then, yeah, shredded itself?
Shredded, yeah.
Awesome. And they so awesome.
They think that Banksy was there witnessing that. There's of course the big mystery is who is Banksy, but there's some speculation. They found there's some video footage.
Tobey Maguire. Ten bucks on Tobey Maguire. I have no idea why I want Tobey Maguire.
But they think that he was in the room in the at the auction when that went down, just to see his prank executed.
Well, and that's another we can get. That's a good boogie monster topic is the art world just money laundering? That's what everybody thinks.
I never thought about that.
Because there's no, like, to decide the value of it. Like, what's the dude that the New York street artist dude that he passed, but what he, like he had the highest paid price for one of his pieces of art. And it's just,
oh, really?
It's rich people trying to get the most rich thing they can get.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trying to be like, look what I, look at how much, either that's the reality or it's like, yeah, I spent $3 million on this. So here's dirty money going into a clean system that now I have this thing of value that will sell for more, like a weird rich person.
Kind of like problem. The, what is that, that thing that came out a few months ago? The furniture company that was also a child sex slave.
I got my computer towers in thing. A Wayfair thing. Not a single kid Wayfair. Came in this. Yeah.
Yeah. Where like you go on their website and there's a chest of drawers that's $12,000, yeah. But you're really not buying the
because
chest of
it's called Lucille. It's like you're gonna get a kid named Lucille in that. Like not one person accidentally just bought an expensive piece of furniture. Like I got a whole kid. Like Wayfair customer service isn't like, oh, here's also here's the script on how to deal when people accidentally get sent a live child in with their TV stand. That they just didn't think about the price. Like I didn't. I got a kid. There's a kid here. Like they assemble it and then they go home. Don't worry about it. They're there to put it together.
It says here you're a member of our rewards program. So
that's well, congratulations. You're a father now. That's your reward. Is the reward of watching this child grow up.
Oh, some people think that it's a homage to 2001: Space Odyssey. Have you seen that movie?
Rachel keeps telling me, she's like, watch it, you won't like it. I'm like, well, don't set me up like that. So, no, I have not seen it, but I think, should we? Did you see it?
I watched it for the first time ever, like 2 weeks ago.
Well, you've just been swimming in weed, watching every movie that's ever been made. That's every time I talk to you, you're like, I watched five movies last night. I'm like, how are you living?
Yeah, I got nothing else to do. I got no place to go.
Did you watch An Officer and a Gentleman?
Yeah. No, I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, that's not where you got that one, that quote from.
Oh, no, that's the Chris Farley line from...
He's quoting Richard Gere, which is its own fun.
Yep. I watched it a couple weeks ago. It was above my head. There's a lot I didn't get. I didn't understand a lot of it. But granted, I was real high. I like Stanley Kubrick, but that one was just, it was hard to follow. It's impressive visually, especially considering the time that it was made. I think that movie was made like 68, 69, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's impressive, and I'm sure it's a great movie, but it's, for my simple brain, it's one that I got to watch a second or third time to get all the, to get what he's trying to point out there. But... at the beginning of the movie, there's the scene where like there's just a bunch. It's supposed to be like prehistoric times. There's a bunch of apes and monkeys just hanging out, and then this monolith appears, and there's some relevance.
Isn't the guy's name Dave in it?
I believe yeah Dave. I can't do that.
Was that
the computer?
I can't do that, Dave. What do you mean you can't do that? Me? Oh. Just picture you a Home Alone Stone, like, what?
Huh? Holy shit.
Oh, no, TV Dave, not me, Dave.
Dave's not here, man.
Can't do what? Order. That's the same Dave. That's the Dave from 2001 is the same from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I will put that to the listeners. Somebody edit someone edit Hal 2000 or whatever talking to the Dave that's not there from the Cheech and Chong movie.
That's
and
funny.
Enjoy your views. Enjoy the hit count on enjoy the money you get from your monetized YouTube channel once this thing blows up. Because I love donating ideas. That's what I love, Dave. I just love donating great ideas to the world.
So you're somebody just here to help, man.
Somebody mash up Dave's not here with the Hal 2000.
You're an idea man.
Yeah, I'm not a nuts and bolts guy.
But yeah, who knows what the hell's going on with this thing? If I had to, I would like to think that it's aliens positioning these things as some sort of honing device or whatever. But odds are, it's probably some sort of art piece.
But let's give thanks for rascal artists.
Uh-huh.
Doing things just to mess with you.
Yeah, I do love that. That's why I'm really fascinated with the whole street art culture, because I really respect the danger of it. You know, they're out there, you know, on top of buildings and climbing up shit. And, you know, every time they go out, there's a chance that they could wind up in jail. So I appreciate what those guys are doing. And I think the art is cool as shit. Like, yeah. At least I haven't done it in a while. But back in the day, like I said, when I first moved to L.A., I was on foot all the time. And I would see so much shit, because I'd park in Los Feliz in my nice spot. And my gym was in on Hollywood Boulevard, like in Hollywood. So I would have to walk about 3 miles just to get to the gym to take a dump and a shower. So every day I would walk, you know, 3 miles there, 3 miles back. And I would basically walk Hollywood Boulevard from Los Feliz to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But I would see so much cool street art. I never really noticed it before I started watching some of these documentaries and stuff. But just a lot of it's pretty damn cool.
It's that slippery slope of thinking for me where it's like, I love seeing like when they take a billboard and actually the tag or the art they put on it incorporates the art from the billboard into the message mm-hmm. that they want to put out. And, you know, like boxcar graffiti is great because it's the whole thing about the artist is like, you want to tag it. So that's your name. So people know you're the artist. And then you put it on a movable museum.
Yeah.
So now, instead of people having to come to find my art, I put it out in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's TV for graffiti artists, is like, mm-hmm. now my signal is broadcast across the country. It's when you see like, oh, it's that weird thing. It's like, well, this is just an independent business, and all you did was come by and like tag their door just to be like, yeah. I came by here. But that's
I don't care for.
I think that's shitty, but that is the ground floor for these other things. So it's like, well, I want to condemn that, but then I like to see the ascension of that individual of like, oh, I realized mm-hmm. that was dumb. Now I move to this next level of hitting a wall with an actual, like, now the idea of an art critic and what's art worth? Why is one color tagging shitty, but somebody who had three rattle cans and sprayed a more intricate design, okay. Mm-hmm. And when it's on a mural that somebody already painted, oh, well, why do I like this one better? Because I didn't like the original art. And well, now we're all critics as opposed to, you know, now it's like that movable scale of like, well, I like that guy's tag better, so I'm okay with it being on this wall versus somebody who's a shitty artist. Like, it's all, the whole fucking world's an open mic if you're a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
So
did I tell you, my van got tagged several times when I was living in it.
I feel that's that
pissed me off.
Insulting. That is insulting. Yeah.
It got tagged at least three different times, and each time they would tag their, again, just their name or, you know, like, if you're going to fucking paint my van, do something artistic other than just your fucking name. And a couple times they would tag it and then I would go back. It would be like, you know, Ducky or whatever these fucking tag names are, you know, whatever their signature name was. And then I would underneath it would write, "Is a loser." Arrow to, or like, I'd go back and try to like one up them.
Junior high bathroom stall kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, like, I was reading about tagging. It's like putting your own sticker up somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the so and so was here idea. Like,
yeah,
man, this guy.
I get that, but this is, it's like, well,
this guy's everywhere. This guy climbed on that building. This guy climbed in that sewer. To know that one individual's everywhere all the time, I think it's less what's being tagged and who. It's just the idea, like, man, this motherfucker is everywhere. So that's the idea. I do think there's a level of respect of what you're tagging. If it's a billboard, I don't give a shit. Like especially if it's like a corporate billboard. You got another knock on your door?
Yeah, let me grab that. Hold on.
This is exciting. This is just like Pee-wee's Playhouse, except if Pee-wee was also willing to punch somebody in the face. All right, we lost Dave. That's all right. It's a long episode. We got a lot of meat here. Hey, what's up? It's Kyle right now. It's time for me to tune in and tell you how things are going. It's going pretty good. I decided to drink scotch. Man, hey, here's Kyle saying if you want to get drunk, but not with calories and not getting full, try scotch. It will dismantle your well-being. Too sweet.
God damn it.
We'll see if Dave realizes that he lost me and needs to call back. Because I know his audio and video are still playing independently. So right now, if you click over to Dave's, he'll see a blank screen. But also, his audio is still recording, so you can hear. What if he doesn't come back? Oh, there he is. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hung up on you.
No, I had a whole fun thing going.
Oh, what'd you do?
Nah, I was just talking to the folks.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, what if we just hear some shit going down and it's just me addressing.
Yeah.
Let's have some riffraff. I hear the missus out there.
Oh no, I just some packages came in.
So. Guys getting a bunch of goodies, Christmas presents.
Oh yeah, she loses her mind every Christmas with the gift giving. She's the most generous and thoughtful person I've ever met. So much so that it makes me look like a real shithead. Like she'll get me. I told you for my birthday, she got me 43 different presents because I was 43 years old. That's who we're dealing with her. But yeah, so it's already begun the Christmas shopping.
So, hey, what a horrible thing to be with a generous, caring individual.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
well, shit, man. We are well over time. I wanted to get into this the octopus thing that I sent you yesterday. I thought it was the one that was on Netflix. It wasn't. It's one. Okay. It's on. Rachel got something called an app called Canopy.
Okay.
Which apparently it's a lot of public public access, not public app, but like what it's a library app.
Okay.
It's a videos library app, so it's a lot of public television access. So this was a documentary of some dude in Alaska who studied octopi, octopodi.
Octopuses.
One of the early Kumail Nanjiani bits was how octopodi is the plural of octopus. In Kumail's burgeoning years of... Are you hearing something about Meals on Wheels?
Oh, no, I thought you heard the toilet flush behind me.
Sorry. No, I'm getting mad about Meals on Wheels.
No, I don't hear anything about Meals on Wheels.
Are you not watching TV?
No, there's no TV on here. What the hell's the matter with you?
Only I can hear it, so nobody else can. But I'm just getting a radio station in my AirPods.
Sure, why not?
Maybe I said NPR. Maybe NPR is part of the whole racket of like they're talking about NPR. Plug in. Make sure we fill them with useless information about octopuses. I just wanted to throw a story about my buddy Kumail. In the early days when Kumail's just a stand-up and not a fucking Avenger, what he is now. Whatever 8-pack Nanjiani's up to.
Speaking of which, real quick, I'll interrupt you real quick, but rewatching Silicon Valley, that show is excellent. Such a good show. And Kumail does great in that.
Several Chicago folks coming in there.
Yeah, that's a good damn show if somebody hasn't seen it.
Mike Judge.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That Zach.
Somebody's not rattling Charlie. Things?
That's Charlie. He's fine.
Is Charlie listening to NPR right now?
No, Charlie doesn't listen to NPR anymore.
He said he got too many of those commie ideas in his little brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Kumail.
He just had a fun joke about how the plural of octopus is octopodi. He's like, why would I need to know that? He's like, when am I in some... I'm going to be in an orgy. I'm like, oh, there's too many uteropodi. Because out of body, pluralized uterus.
Oh.
That's why Kumail... Okay. when Kumail started doing comedy, it was like, oh, fuck. We all thought we were funny, but now he's here. And that was the best thing for a comedy scene, was when somebody came in, you're like, oh, shit, we need to work harder.
Hold on just a second. Hey, Boo, your shirt's on backwards. Yeah, she's taking Charlie out for a walk.
Maybe that's why I'm here at NPR. Maybe that's why I'm here at NPR.
Yeah, okay.
Fix your shirt, because otherwise the antenna in my ear pods. I am literally just hearing something. Which
really?
Now this is weird, because that means what if you're having a top secret conversation?
Mm-hmm.
All I did, you went away, it disconnected, I reconnected through my computer.
Uh-huh.
Do I have something playing on my computer? Oh, I do, never mind. All right.
Jesus, Kyle.
I had a case.
You fucking idiot.
I did it.
You also paused the screen there.
Did I?
I can't see you anymore.
Hold on.
What's the matter with you?
It's all going to shit.
Uh-huh.
What did I pause?
There you are.
It started playing autonomously, but I've been watching this Lost LA series on KSET, which is the Los Angeles public television.
Uh-huh.
And it was about Muscle Beach. How Muscle Beach.
Oh, and Venice?
They were doing some interesting things. Anyway, I think I will figure out how you should watch this idea that octopus as or octopodi, as our friend Kumail learned me back in the day.
Okay.
That they might be the true aliens that live
on Earth. Yeah, we talked about that. We spent an episode discussing that.
But
and
this,
I think they might be.
Will reinforce
their DNA is unlike any other creature's DNA on Earth, right?
They have no skeleton. Their digestive tract this is what I learned the most. Instead of having one brain to process senses, they have a brain for basically a computing center for each tentacle.
Huh.
So instead of how your arm touches something and you touch it with your hand and then that feeling and temperature gets sent back to your brain to figure it out, it will think on its own for what to do. So each thing is like, oh, this is cold. Your left hand would be like, this is cold and round. And your right hand could have a separate sense of thought about it and come up with what to do. Well, your other six tentacles are processing either another object or that same object, but with a different thought process of temperature or texture. And their camouflaging abilities, they had something that's called it's called cloud passing. But basically their entire body can camouflage in a way, all the cells on the surface can change color and texture. And the cloud passing, it looks like when you show a film on a piece of white sheet.
Uh-huh.
Far away, like you don't know what the film is, but you see just the motions moving past on the. They can do that with their surface area, with their skin, more or less. It was the perfect mix of fascinating and heartwarming that this guy just brought an octopus into his home, put a saltwater tank in his living room to live with it and see how it recognized him. How it recognized his daughter. Damn. How when they would sit on the couch to watch TV, it would move to a certain side of the tank to observe them. It's got eyes. This one was the most amazing. That the nearest common relative of us and an octopus is some sort of barely there type of prehistoric worm.
Wow.
So that means that we have two eyeballs the same way. Look at how many creatures of our same, genus, species, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Back even fish.
Yeah.
Cats and have two eyeballs.
Two nostrils, two ears.
Yeah.
But one mouth.
Octopus developed independently from an organism to still also have two eyeballs. Doesn't have anything else similar, but still has eyes that can look and will watch. And like the guy's like looking above the coral at the octopus, and it'll raise up to look at it and follow him around the room. Wow. So that means that this organism, this kind of flatworm that had no sensory capability, developed two eyes the same way whatever the fish that climbed out of water did, that turned into monkeys and giraffes and lizards and people. This thing Damn. That became an octopus that has eight arms and tastes through its tentacles still has eyes like a human being in a sense.
Yeah.
Fascinating. It's on it's a Canopy app. The app is called Canopy. It's okay. Tied in with your library card or library system. Somehow Rachel set it up, so I don't have the details there, but
yeah, I looked for it. I thought you said it was on PBS, so I have the PBS app.
I thought it's a PBS. It's like a Canadian PBS show that's on this Canopy app. So.
Okay. I will check that out. I love octopussies. So
no, Dave, don't undermine the gesture.
Uh-huh. Octopodi. Octopodi sounds like a city in Canada.
It's octa, they, them.
Mm. All right, dickhead.
They depodi.
Yeah. Anything else? What
them
else going
depusses.
On? Them depusses.
Well, we talked out our ass for a while. This is what happens when we skip a week. You get twice the bullshit.
That's true. Oh, man. Well, good times, buddy. You've been shooting your gun? You feel good? You're still having fun with that?
Oh, yeah, man. I got it right behind me, dude.
You preparing? You ready for the...
You know what's weirder than just sitting out the dirt pit shooting them all? I had, like, one loose 9mm round.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I loaded that up, and that's way scarier of a feeling mentally to be like, oh, I'm just going to put one bullet in this gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, seasonal affective disorder. Way too dark of a thing to say. I shot guns into the dirt with old Brooks Whelan yesterday. It was fun. He seemed like he was doing well. Come back from a whole cold weather camping trip.
Yeah.
I'll tell everybody. I'll plug Brooks Whelan. Just go follow his Instagram. That dude, I always thought people would jerk off. It's like, oh, I travel. I took this picture. He goes to cool places and knows how to photograph them well.
Mm-hmm.
And is a good guy. Go follow his Instagram and look at the cool. He just goes, he has no qualms about, like, I put my shit in the car. I'm going to find a place to sleep.
Yeah.
Me, I'm like, oh, well, is the campsite open? I'm doing it. He doesn't care. So,
right on. Yeah, I like Brooks. Brooks and I did Montreal together years ago. And when he was goofing off and he was drunk and we were all, me and him, a couple other dudes, just kind of roughhousing. Just not anything serious, but just kind of goofing off, playing. And he literally bumped in, like barely nudged Judah Friedlander. And then Judah spent the next 10 minutes declaring how he was going to sue Brooks because you bumped into me.
Was it funny?
And no. And I was forever turned off against that fucking turd because he was seriously like being litigious.
Oh, really?
And we were like, shut the fuck up.
You don't think it was like an Andy Kaufman? No. Like, I'm doing a bit and I'm hope somebody gets it. But if not, I'm still going to continue.
Nope. No bit. And this was ironically right before Brooks got hired by SNL. And Brooks was like, sue me for what? I'm a comedian. I don't have anything. But Judah was being serious. Like, you need
really?
you could have broke my ankle. You got to be careful, man. If I would have broke my ankle, I would have lost so many acting jobs and comedy. And we were like, shut the fuck up, mister. Like, that's your whole thing is like, I'm a crazy smart ass comedian. But like now you're choosing this time to be litigious against Brooks. No, he was not joking.
Show business is like some parties can be like, all right, we got a pufferfish, a jaguar, a croissant, and a snowflake, a literal, actual frozen snowflake. let's see what how they hang out together. And it's never good. Like that's but Brooks in quarantine did the best thing in quarantine. Mm-hmm. I think of all the shit that's happened this year, Brooks Wheelan got drunk, took a bet from Nick Turner that he couldn't run a marathon. The next day,
no training, nothing.
Just drunk Brooks Wheelan said,
"Yeah,
I'll do it. $500." And the next day, after being drunk on wine and whatever the fuck else, ran a fucking marathon the next
day. That's crazy. That's crazy.
On a hangover.
Yeah.
Ran a marathon that he made up by himself in LA. And that, if there's any story, fuck any Trump shit, we've already made all the jokes about this or that or anything. Any like, oh, we gave a TV deal to the lady who lip-synced Trump.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, hopefully, you know what? I hope she takes it and then runs with it and it proves us all wrong for being bitter old showbiz people. But Brooks Wheelan saying, I'll run a marathon tomorrow and then fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Forget everything else that happened in 2020. Let's focus on the triumph of the human spirit. That was Brooks Wheelan drunk, agreeing to a marathon, and the next day committing to it and accomplishing the task.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was fantastic. If I made that same declaration and had a year to train for it, I probably couldn't do it. But he did it in 24 hours. So good for him.
I couldn't guarantee you I would do the stuff that I have to do tomorrow. Like, I'll bet you right now I'll get the trash down to the curb. I fucked it up 2 weeks ago, man. I can't guarantee. I'm like, 6 a.m., I'll wake up early and do it. I didn't. Yeah. I blew, and I had to email the trash place. I'm like, you guys didn't get our recycling. I had it out there by like 6 o'clock. Like, well, there's cameras on our trucks, and they picked it up at 6:04. There's no recycling bin out there. Ooh. It was like 6:30 I had it out
there. Yeah. Gotcha.
But they straight up called me on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what happened to you guys? I fucking had my trash out. They're like, we have video that says you didn't. I'm like, motherfucker. I did not know they were that advanced.
Click.
I didn't know they were that advanced in the bird. They had cameras on the recycling truck.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's
All right,
let's
dude.
Hang some brain, buddy. Let's hang a little brain, bro. Nothing funnier than leaning into the mic is a point.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can I just address the fact?
anything to plug? What do you got going on?
Nothing, man.
No?
Dismissing this notice on my other computer for a family Zoom meeting. That's what I had going on. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's time for that.
Family Zoom in 10 minutes if anybody wants to join. That's my hot news.
Get out of here, man. All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week, man. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving.
This is a good old catch up, Dave.
It's fun too. I could see you for the first time in months. I'm able to see you.
I was saying before we started, I'm like, well, one of us has to have hair.
Yeah. I got rid of mine.
Otherwise, so it just
I
looks
shave
like,
it about once a week.
This looks like the most misguided militia meeting ever. Well, the main focus is how the Zionist government is taking over the bank. You ever see that thing over in Utah? It's like a monolith. I like to put Ritz cracker crumbs on my mashed potatoes, give them an extra crisp. Like, there's no way we're going to take over the Jews if this is how we keep starting meetings.
No, probably not. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Somebody's going to take that sound bit, and then we're canceled.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, it was a good run. All right,
I enjoyed it. we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
The Boogie Monster. Podcast Network.